This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I am so glad that you're here. This month, we have been talking about godly community and friendships and how really to live every day as our best day ever. We need this to be a part of our lives, and it's something that God has set forth in His Word, not just one of our great ideas. So we've talked this month about some of the things that can get in the way, some reasons why we wouldn't engage in godly community or make room for friendships in our lives. And I hope by now that you have made the decision. This is absolutely something that you want to invest in. You want to make time for friends. You want to get this right, or at least begin moving in the direction where you prioritize godly friendships and Christian community in your life. But maybe you're thinking, how exactly do I do that? Because while even normal schedules can keep us busy, they can keep us moving from this thing to the next thing and our responsibilities and the places that we need to be, we are living in a time that seems to complicate community and friendships even more, because even our normal way of approaching them isn't always available to us right now. So I want to dedicate this episode of the podcast to answer the question, how can I make time for friends? If you have decided that's something you want to do better, I hope by the end of this podcast you have some tools. And this isn't necessarily brand new information, maybe something you haven't thought about, but hopefully it's some practical ways to apply nurturing friendships and to really make it more of a regular rhythm to your every day. So I can think of a time. I told you earlier when we began this series that I have been the new girl at least 6 times in my adult life because of the number of times that we've moved. And so I explained at that time how I know what it feels like to come into a place where everyone already seems to have their circle of friends and you feel like you don't really have a place. But the other thing that happens when you move that often, God has always been so good and faithful to give us friends in the places where we have gone. Some of that is because we have been intentional about seeking out a small group, whether it was with a small group women's Bible study for the players' wives and girlfriends that the team where Luke was playing was having. And there were times when I led that Bible study because no one else was doing it. But another thing that we committed to do was to get involved in a church in every new city that we moved to, and that had its challenges as well. But God was always good to open those doors and give us those people. And yes, there were weeks and months and sometimes years of doing the community, but not really feeling the friendships and the community. But I can say that just about, if not every single place that we went, by the time we left, we had developed some really dear, special friendships. And so I can remember, so a part of that is then you have to leave the friendships. Now, whether it was us leaving or whether it was the friend leaving because her husband got traded or something like that in the NFL, we've also done a lot of leaving friendships over the years. And so this one particular time, I remember sitting across the table from this really great friend that I had made in one of the cities where Luke was playing. Our husbands played together, and they just kind of became those lifelong friends. And I heard it said that, and I think this is a great it's a great concept. I heard a woman who had also moved a lot say that there are different kinds of friends. So there are heart friends, and then I think she called them road friends. That's probably not entirely correct, but the idea is that there are some friends that are in your life for a season, and they will walk along the road with you because you're on the same road. And those are friends for a season, but not necessarily for a lifetime. But as you meet these friends that walk along the road with you in different seasons, some of them become what she called heart friends. And those are friends that no matter what season and no matter how different your roads, you remain friends. And this particular friend was one of those heart friends, and she was leaving. We were staying on that team, but her and her husband and their family were about to leave to embark on an adventure on another team. And so we went to dinner the night before she left, and we had a wonderful time. We laughed and we lingered because we knew at the end of the night she was going to leave, and it would be a very long time before we ever did that again. And as I considered that, and I think it's really neat that right now, even the friends that we may have that live around the corner, it can still be difficult to gather with them. And so it just got me thinking about some really practical ways that we can nurture friendships. And in this situation, I was thinking about a friendship that was going to be separated by physical distance. And I have friends all over the country. And then I also have friends that, you know, live 10 minutes from me. And so some of the things that I'm going to share three things with you today. And one, I think that's so neat is that we see these things that I'm going to share with you, we see them in scripture. We see the way that community was built and cultivated through these ways in scripture. And so I'm going to share those examples with you as well. But I think that these are things that you can use and you can apply to the friends that live in, you know, 10 minutes of a driving distance from you, but also maybe to the friends that don't live anywhere near you, that even if you wanted to go grab coffee with them, you couldn't. So let's get into these ways that I believe we can nurture both kinds of friendships. And let me share with you some of the examples that God's word gives us about these. So here's number one. If you have a pen and paper, you can write it down. It's only three. But number one is write a letter. Now, before you're like, Katie, my great-grandmother did that, and no one's done it since. Hang on a minute, okay? I'm going to build this out. But number one is write a letter. Okay, so let's first think. I've read to you several scriptures from New Testament letters in this series. I've read out of 1 Thessalonians. I've read out of 2 Corinthians. I've read out of Ephesians in the episodes prior to this one in this series. And all of those were letters. Letters written from Paul to some early churches who were not in close physical proximity to him at the time. And he sent those letters to encourage them, to build them up. He shared in some places in the letters, he shared about his own life, what was happening, what was encouraging him, how things were going for him, some of his needs. He also used these letters even to correct and to point out some problems that he was hearing about and tell them truth to help them in the middle of some things that might have been going wrong. And so I think it's really neat that we see the examples of how letters can cultivate community in the New Testament. Obviously, as I mentioned, writing a letter with a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper is not something we do as often as maybe it was years and years ago. We have technology now. We send emails or we write text messages or we, you know, sometimes we leave comments on social media, which is not entirely opposite of writing a letter. I would say that maybe a comment on social media isn't quite the same thing, but an email, I mean, you can consider that a digital letter or even a text message. Honestly, I understand that we may not all have the time, the resources, or even know where a pencil is in our home. And so what I don't want is for something that I'm suggesting for all of the, oh, well, I would have to do this, 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 and this in order to make that happen. I don't want that to be what stands in your way of putting some of these things into practice. So if you could right now, if someone is on your heart right now, that you could, quote unquote, write a letter to. And the best thing you could do is pull out your phone and send a text message. Do it and put a check mark next to write a letter to a friend. Because even a sentence from a text message that says, "Hey, I've been thinking about you. How are you?" That can open a door for community and conversation and encouragement and building up and correction. That one text message can open that door. It doesn't always have to be the grand gesture of a beautiful card with a letter front and back that you frame after you've read it. It doesn't have to be that way. Don't let a certain expectation or idea stand in your way from sending the text message. "You know what? It seems like I'm thinking about you all of the time. I don't know if God's putting you on my heart or not, but I just wanted to say hi and see how you're doing." And just start there. So that would be number one, write a letter. Number two, schedule some talk time. Okay, so let's go to a biblical example, something that we find in God's Word. And let's look at Jesus for a minute. If there were ever a life of high demand, I think we can say Jesus lived it. And yet, with so many people who were seeking something from him, they wanted him to heal, they wanted him to teach, they wanted him to cast out demons. With so many people who wanted something from Jesus, we still see throughout Scripture how Jesus would, one, he would withdraw to pray, but he would also find time to pull away and be with his disciples. I mentioned a few episodes ago, John 15:15, where Jesus tells his disciples, "I have called you friends." So I say this because, remember, the wording is schedule some talk time. And honestly, this is what I do when I want to get on a phone call with a friend. It will almost always begin with a text message that says, "Hey, let's catch up. Give me some days and times that you're available." Because between me and the friend that I'm trying to cultivate a relationship with, if we just picked up the phone and called, it's unlikely that we're both going to have a group of minutes all at one time to actually catch up. So it is something that I will put in my digital calendar the same way I put a dentist appointment. Now, that's probably a terrible example because you don't really look forward to a dentist appointment. But maybe date night with my husband, which is also cultivating relationship in a different way. But we'll schedule it because we prioritize it. We've decided that this is something important. If we want to live our best day ever, every day, we need to cultivate godly friendships and community. And so instead of just letting it get in where it fits in, we make a plan to prioritize it and schedule it. And then it's one of those things where if something comes up, you say, "Oh, I cannot do it at that time because I've already got this on my schedule that I'm going to talk with my friend at that time." So I would encourage you that that you can do that too. If you have that friend in on your mind, and you know, the text message can be a great way to open the door. But if we go back to writing a letter, step number one, and one of the things that I talked about is that Paul not only encouraged and built up the early churches in his letters, but Paul also shared about his life in those letters because those churches were concerned about him. And so sometimes text messaging, if that's where we allow it to remain, it can become difficult to truly share our lives and then also engage and encourage one another. So that's where an actual phone call, you know, these days we're doing Zoom meetings. Maybe you want to see them too. You could schedule that. I've done that as well. And it's kind of fun. It's a little bit different, But it's fun to be able to, I mean, they're sitting at their house and I'm sitting at my house and we can see each other and we get to have, I've had hour-long conversations on Zoom with friends that live in different states, but it is always something that has to be scheduled. It rarely just happens. So number one was write a letter. Number two, schedule some talk time, make a plan for that. And then here's number three, the last thing that I'm going to give you for practical ways to make time for friendships is pray. In one of his letters to the Church of Ephesus, Paul writes in Ephesians 1:16, "I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly." And we can do that for each other. There are so many things that I could tell you about this. I can tell you about the time that a lady who I go to church with, she is not someone that I have ever, to my knowledge, I can't think of a time I've ever shared a meal with her. I cannot think of a time that I've ever had a phone conversation with her. I don't call her for coffee. And really, our paths don't cross much unless we see each other in passing at church. We're both a part of the women's group at our church, and we have a lot of mutual friends. And you've probably heard me mention the Bible study, She Smiles Without Fear, that published on January 1st. And there was a time after I had signed the contract to write that Bible study, And I believe even completed writing it, but possibly was in the editing process before it was published. And she stopped me to say, "Hey, have you changed what time you leave your house in the mornings?" And I thought, "What are you talking about? How do you even know what time I leave my house?" Well, turns out, she passes my house on her way to work every day. And she had been seeing me pull out of my driveway to take my kids to school. And she determined in her heart to pray for me every morning when she passed my house. And she shared a little bit more. And she said, "Katie," one of the things she said is, "Katie, I have prayed that God would give you words." Without me even knowing it, this sister in Christ was praying for the ministry and the calling that God had put on my life every day. How special is that? And when she told me that, what do you think it made me want to do? I want to do that for someone else because I know that she prayed for me because God did give me words, words that I never could have come up with on my own. And that was so powerful to know that a woman that I may never have coffee with, I may never do a Zoom call with, she committed in her heart to pray for me. And just the beautiful example of that godly friendship that looks a little different maybe than we would think it's maybe supposed to look. So that's a way. I have a friend who talks about prayer triggers. And so one thing that she uses is she says, you know, if I have a friend that loves leopard print, well, then every time I see leopard print, I'll pray for that friend. So that's something that you can do. You know, if you have a friend that loves coffee, every time you drink your coffee or every time you pass, you know, the Starbucks, pray for your friend. It doesn't have to be something that you take an hour out of your schedule every single day, but it can just be, or you know, when God brings that person to mind, you pray for them. But if we don't do anything else, I think we can begin to prioritize praying for one another. And it'll be interesting to see how God opens doors when we begin with prayer for one another. So if there's nothing else that you feel like you can do, I would encourage you to start there. Pray for your friend, even if it's just 10 seconds because of that trigger, or maybe you drive by somebody's house and maybe it's just one friend and it grows over time into 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 friends. But those are just some practical ways that I hope you can use to help you make time for friends, to help you engage in godly community, and to help you live every day as your best day ever.